thinking more highly of myself than I do. You know. So, we found this picture of a praying dog, and my little niece, I taught her. I said, "What it really should say there is that if a dog can pray, anybody can pray." And so she loves that saying now. So she goes around the house saying, "If a dog can pray, anybody can pray." So our workshop today is on world-changing prayer. Today we're going to share some challenging questions and answers of prayer. We're going to see a stunning video on persecution and prayer called Alexander. We're going to study Nehemiah's prayer and see what we can learn from that, how that might help us in our prayer life. We're going to look at Jesus in the garden and how he prayed in the Father's will. And because of that, today I can share about my Father's salvation. And finally, we're going to look at the world and how we together can bring about change through our prayers. I'd like to open up in prayer now. Father, we just come before you. I thank you for each and every man that's here. I pray that you'd open up their hearts to receive all that you would have us today. I pray that you would anoint me through your Holy Spirit so that the words that come out of my mouth would not be of myself, but of your Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would be able to take away today, Lord, how important it is to pray and to see through this video and stories how prayer really does change the world, Lord, and how you answer prayers, Lord. And so we just bring this special time to you, Lord, and we pray that you be glorified through all that takes place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. World-changing prayer starts with the individual, the singular. And as the world is made up of individuals, the plural, we come together who are committed to the Lord. And this is an example of private and corporate prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God and bringing all of our concerns, sorrows, joys before Him. I'd like to just ask, by a show of your hands, how many believe that God answers prayer? And how many have received answers to prayer from God? Okay, that's great. So prayer starts by our dependence on God, followed by praying in the will of God, and finally persevering in prayer. Prayer is fellowship with the unseen and most holy one. How does prayer work? We're going to see a video in a few seconds called Alexander's video. Alexander was a Russian Christian who was arrested and sent to jail in Siberia for preaching the word of God. And as you watch this stunning video, you'll see the power of united prayer and how that works out in his life. Paul, if you can get that.
For weeks, months, years, you cannot get rid of it. And the other continual feeling is the constant cold. Terrible cold. Sometimes I felt as if my blood circulation was slowing down. I was personally amazed at the power of endurance. Because by all accounts, I should have become seriously ill and died a long time ago. To a cell with a broken window. The KGB was determined to do an experiment and freeze me. Later they would say he broke the window in his cell and died of cold. I felt despair. I thought to myself, has God really left me? Am I really forgotten and neglected? Have my years of suffering been in vain? And in my despair, I began to pray. I usually pray silently, but this time I started to appeal to God out loud. God, have you left me? My cries were bursting from a heart literally in utter despair.
One night, I had a dream. In my dream, I was told to pray for Alexander. I had no idea who Alexander was. But I told my church, and we began to pray for him.
And right then, I suddenly felt a palpable physical warmth. Not the kind that comes from a heater, but like when a mother draws her freezing child to her breast and warms him with her tearful breath of compassion. It was a very living, human warmth. It penetrates you as if piercing you to the heart. And inside your heart, a spring opens up, out of which flows peace. A wonderful, magnificent, soothing peace. I felt a very loving, brotherly touch. Someone's caring hand touching my shoulder. I actually felt it. And this gesture represented the words, "You are not alone. You are not abandoned. We are with you. We are sharing your suffering." This warmth was the energy God gave me to feel physically. The heat of prayer was my own skin, my own being. As if the prayers converted the energy of love into the energy of warmth. In the morning, it was a shock to my executioners. They couldn't understand. I wasn't simply alive, but my temperature was the same as that of a normal person. I heard the doctor explaining to my executioners in the corridor, "This is impossible. We can't explain it."
About 6 months later, we received a letter from Open Doors to pray for Alexander. And we finally found out who this Alexander was. We had been praying for 6 months without knowing anything about him. Alexander has started a Christian movement that spread across the Soviet Union. For this crime against the state, he was imprisoned to a labor camp in northern Siberia, the death sentence zone.
It so happened that many people began praying for him. That was exactly when they released me. open the prison doors. And as the gospel affirms, set the captives free.
I hope you take this visual and keep it in your mind, in your hearts. I've seen this many times, and each time I see it, it just really shows me the power of united prayer and all the things that happened to Alexander. We're going to do a little bit of looking now at the prayer of Nehemiah. My son Paul is going to pass it out, and then he'll come up and he'll read it. The reason that we want to go through the prayer of Nehemiah is that we want to see how other people pray and how that might aid us in our prayer time. Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the Persian king while in exile from Jerusalem. And one day he received his brother and some other men from Jerusalem who told him that the walls of Jerusalem had been knocked down and the gates were set on fire. And Nehemiah was so troubled by it that he actually sat down, started fasting, and prayed for about 4 months before he went into the king to ask if he could go to Jerusalem to help with the project. So, before my son Paul reads this prayer, if you could introduce yourself to each other right after the prayer, and then we'll look at some specific points here. So why don't you read the poem and I'll mention the points.
Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man.
So some of the things we'd like you to look at as you get together with this prayer is to look at Nehemiah when he does individual prayer. He usually use the pronoun I. Or if it's corporate prayer, he'll use we. Or if it affects groups, it'll be them. Or if it affects individuals, me. See how he takes a scriptural prayer of Moses and turns it around and prays it back to God. See how he addresses God, how he confesses their sin, and how he brings before the Lord that they are truly repentant and his people do want to be let go again. So, why don't we do this for about 8 minutes, and then we'll come back and see what your thoughts are on this. So if you could introduce yourself to each other into twos or threes, that would be great. Okay.
how about this guy?
Hello.
Prayer of this your servant, would that consist of me?
I would say yes.
Because you could replace somebody easier than I was. So that would be affecting individuals.
San Diego has started out over a wall.
has different churches on Mall. It was on multi-site. That was really interesting. Yeah, we believe in them.
Yes, worked out good.
Okay, why don't we come back together again? Does anybody have any questions or any thoughts of how their prayer life might be different because they read this prayer? Yes. Oh, I thought you.
I would think it's one thing that can be learned from it if somebody's learning how to pray is to start off your prayer with praise.
Right.
And then a confession.
Yep. Those are two good points. Yep. Yeah, I think many times our relationship with the Lord gets strained if we have sin in our lives that needs to be confessed before. I think, as I was mentioning to my son Joe, it's also kind of interesting to see how the Israelites use the name Lord. Sometimes they capitalize it, which is Jehovah. That was a very personal name of the Lord, whereas later down in the third paragraph, it's not capitalized, which is Adonai. And so sometimes the Israelites didn't think they were very close to the Lord or felt that they could be that intimate with him, and so they used the lowercase letters for addressing him. Any other thoughts or questions?
I think it's great that they, like when he's praying, quotes scripture, like getting right. God's perspective in the situation that he's in right at that moment.
Right.
So when you're praying, like praying out scripture, knowing God in the moment that you're in.
And to use that scripture accurately instead of getting what you want.
Yeah.
Using scripture.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, I think it's great to be able to pray the scriptures back to the Lord or his promises. Because he'll be very attentive to it because he said it in the first place. And so, you know, through his spirit. So those are really great ways to pray. Somebody, when I went through this Nehemiah prayer, said that his greatest feedback through this prayer was that God really has a special heart for needy people. Okay, we're going to go on now and look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus was in the garden, he came upon his greatest challenge prayer-wise. That was to either give in to the Father or not give in. So when Jesus prayed, he had total dependence on his Father. And he prayed in the will of his Father. And he prayed with perseverance. If we were to go on and read this, we would see that his sweat turned to drops of blood as he was praying to the Father. But because Jesus said yes to the Father and went to the cross and died for my sins and for all of our sins, I can share my dad's salvation story because of what Jesus did in the garden. We had prayed as a family for my father's salvation for many years. And now we were down to about the last 5 days of his life, and he still hadn't committed himself to the Lord. So he was dying of cancer in a home hospice. And so my wife and I went to visit him about 5 days before he died. And he was kind of in and out of consciousness. And so we didn't really have much conversations with him. But we stayed and then said goodbye to my mother. And on my way out the door, I really felt the Spirit nudging me, saying, go and pray with your father. And so I thought, okay. So I went back to my father's bedside, and he woke up from his unconsciousness. And I looked at him and said, can I pray with you? What I was going to pray was a salvation prayer, which is, and the ABCs of the salvation prayer is that A, we acknowledge that we're a sinner. B, we believe that Jesus died for our sins. And C, that we confess our sins and accept him into our heart as our Lord and Savior. So this is the prayer I was going to pray with him. And so he said, okay. So I closed my eyes and I said the whole prayer, but I didn't hear anything. And when I looked down, he was unconscious again. So I was heading out the door the second time, and I felt the Spirit say, go pray with your father again. So I marched back to his bed, and he woke up again. And I said, Dad, can I pray with you? And he said, sure. So I bowed my head. But this time, as I prayed, he prayed the whole salvation prayer. And when I looked down, there were tears streaming from his eyes. And all we could do was just kind of look at each other and just say, praise the Lord. So I'm so thankful that Jesus said yes to the Father, and that he died not only for my sins, but my Father's also, that he could be with him for all eternity. A scripture that summarizes this is from 1 Timothy 2:4. This is good and agreeable in the sight of God our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Okay, now we're going to move on to and look at world prayer. Before we pray together for the world and for our persecuted brothers and sisters, I'd like to share with you a short-term mission that I went on for 4 years in a row. And I just want to mention that if you ever have an opportunity to go on a short-term mission, it's a great opportunity to have people praying for you back home and for you to get a first-hand knowledge of what's going on in the mission field. In the year 2003, my wife and I and 8 others, there was 10 of us all, as a medical team, we went into the Democratic Republic of the Congo to a town called Goma, which is in East Africa, across the river from Rwanda. The year before we got there, a volcano erupted, and 50% of the town was kind of still in rubble yet. These are just a couple pictures of what the town looked like after the volcano. So we were dealing not just with the health needs, but with the volcano. There was also wars, tribal wars going on within 20 miles of where we were at. There was severe rape of women by the soldiers. So our days were spent in surgery, repairing the women and any other surgical needs that were there. We had health needs. My wife taught the women who were waiting for surgery how to sew to keep them occupied. We met the people. We found the church. And I even want to mention that today, just today, there's a team of five medical people heading back into the Congo to be there for 2 weeks. The reason I mention this is that sometimes it's easier to pray for our world if you're there and you know the people and the church. You know what's going on firsthand, and you're able to pray more in depth for them. And there's a story that goes along with this, which I call Intercessory Prayer Sydney story. While I was in the Congo, we had a gentleman that had a huge goiter that was removed, and this gentleman required 3 surgical procedures to stop the bleeding. And the last surgical procedure he had, he not only had trouble with the bleeding, but he had trouble breathing. And so this was the last case of the day, and so as I was waking him up from his anesthesia slowly, I was watching his bleeding. I was watching that he would continue to breathe well and that he would do okay as he woke up. Well, in the meantime, my niece Sydney, pictured here, it's my son Paul's little niece, she's 4 years old. She was out driving. She was out in the car with her friend and her friend's mother, and they were at a stop sign in Whitefish Bay, and little Sydney said, "I have to pray for my grandpa now." So the lady was kind of stunned, but she pulled over to the side, and Sydney prayed for me, for her grandpa. After she prayed, she told her father, who from Whitefish Bay to the Congo sent us an email asking what took place at that time that Sydney was praying. And as we figured all our time zones, it was at the same time that I was struggling with this patient. And because I honestly believe that through Sydney's prayer that we had a favorable outcome, here's a picture that he's okay today, and that Sydney's prayer, all those miles away, really brought this favorable outcome. This is really a good example of world-changing prayer. Okay, now we're going to go back to looking at world prayer again. Sometimes when we don't know how to pray for the world, there are resources available. My son Paul is going to pass out some prayer cards. And if you look over these prayer cards with your partners and just read, just like probably 4 or 5 different prayers on these cards. If you just kind of go through a couple of them and pray for the people, you'll understand what our brothers and sisters are going through and how we as the body of Christ can really help them. I think one of the concepts of the body that we forget so many times is that when the body's hurting, we need to be hurting for them. Maybe we can't endure their physical pain, but we can sure pray for them. And when they're joyful, we should be joyful. When we pray, we are part of world-changing prayer. And when we pray, our prayers are felt by the body, like Alexander. We saw how the prayers were turned from cold to heat to love and release. And so I think as we pray these prayers, know in your heart that our brothers and sisters will indeed feel these prayers, and we can really change our world for them. So let's take about 10 minutes and pray for this, and then I'll close with a prayer. So you can either pray by yourselves, or if you want to pray with your partner, that would be great. Okay, before we close in prayer, if you notice on the back of these cards, there are some internet references for the persecuted church or country that you can go online and find out more. As you leave tonight, the Voice of the Martyrs has given us some 20,011 booklets on persecuted church, much more than what you have on the cards. So if you could pick one up on the way out and then use it all year long to pray for our brothers and sisters. So, Father, we just thank you for this workshop. Lord, we are so thankful that our prayers, as we've seen through the video and through the various stories and through the various scriptures, that you indeed do answer prayer, Lord. And we know, particularly in the case of our brothers and sisters, Lord, that you're meeting them just where they're at. And through our prayers, Lord, we know that they have been encouraged today, Lord. And we pray that that would happen continuously throughout the day and the weeks and the months ahead, Lord. Lord, there's no more empty feeling than to be persecuted for your faith and to know that no one cares. So, Lord, I thank you for each and every man that's here today that offered up prayers, Lord, for our brothers and sisters. Because this is our way, Lord, of sharing in all the things that are going on in their lives. Lord, we pray that you are glorified today. We pray that you met each one of us just where we were at today, too, Lord. And we pray that you would just continue to bless the rest of this No Regrets Conference today, Lord. Be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.